Because I think the last thing anyone wants, whether, you know, from an irrigator's perspective, an environmental perspective, a recreation perspective, would be to dry up the Black Canyon.
If you're an angler or a boater that loves the Gunnison River, this episode is for you. I'm Brody Wilson, and this is Local Motion. Blue Mesa is the largest reservoir in Colorado. This year, the snow did not show up. The runoff never arrived, and the people who operate the dam have spent the summer making decisions that nobody really wanted to make. For the next half an hour, we're going to walk through those decisions, how the dam is actually operated, who operates it, and what it costs to the people downstream. I hope you'll stick around and listen to the conversation I had with one of the Gunnison Basin's most important technical experts.
My name is Caleb Foy. I'm Senior Water Resources Engineer here at the Colorado River District, and I serve as the district's technical lead in the Gunnison River Basin.
As the technical expert for our basin here in the Gunnison Basin, things are getting a little spicy here this year with this drought, and a lot is going on, and it seems like a lot of water rights are coming into play that aren't exercised in typical water years. Caleb Foy started with the reservoir itself, how much water is sitting in it today. I stopped in, though, because the figure that matters isn't how low Blue Mesa is, it's how low it is against everything this basin has ever recorded. Caleb, so, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you say record low, we saw that with this year's snowpack, there was a difference between this year and the previous record, in that we are so much lower than the previous record lows.
That April through July period for inflow into Blue Mesa Reservoir is 151,000 acre feet. So to put that into perspective, historical perspective, again, that would be the lowest inflow into unregulated inflow into the reservoir on record. So we're talking about drier than the driest years that we've ever experienced, notably years like 1977, 2002, 2012, 2018. All of those years, you know, were kind of the extraordinarily drought years that we had faced. And 2026, unfortunately, is coming in even drier than any of those. Currently, we're sitting at just over 240,000 acre feet of storage in the reservoir, which is roughly about a third of the volume that we would typically expect to see in the reservoir in this time of year. And when I say a third of historical, it is relative to a 30-year period, 1991 to 2020, but it does truly show how record low the storage currently is at Blue Mesa Reservoir. And again, I would largely attribute that low, those low storage levels to just the dismal winter snowpack and record warm temperatures that we've been experiencing.
Foy had a graph up on his screen while we were talking, showing 30 years of Blue Mesa filling in the spring and emptying through the summer. This spring, that line did something a reservoir line isn't supposed to do.
What we saw is there was no real bump, no noticeable or substantive bump in storage like we would typically see in a normal year. And in fact, we continued to just draw down levels in the reservoir, again, largely attributable to those record low inflows.
Just for the people in radio land who aren't seeing the chart that we're seeing, that in a typical year in, you know, May, June, we would expect to see the reservoir levels increasing as snow from the mountains ran off and was stored in the reservoir.
The difference between this year and 2002 is we started the year, unfortunately, at lower levels than we did in 2002, which frankly has really exacerbated matters when you do see that record low inflow and you don't really gain any storage throughout that spring runoff season.
Let's talk a little bit about how this low level at this time of year is beginning to affect operations of the dam.
In the Bureau's most recent July 2026 update, they identified that the reservoir could drop to below even to power pool by as early as October of this year. At that elevation, the reservoir holds about 81,000 acre feet of active storage that can be released. And again, below that level, it's no longer able to produce hydropower given the infrastructure in the dam. The power plant at Blue Mesa Reservoir has a capacity of 86.4 megawatts, which, to put that in perspective, that's enough energy to supply at least 34,000 homes. So this is a large amount of hydropower that, you know, with continued drawdown of the reservoir below critically low levels, the reservoir would no longer be able to produce hydropower, which certainly has implications for just the grid and power production, power supply to homes throughout the western United States.
At the minimum power pool water level, or elevation, there is still usable water in the reservoir, but the water sits just below the intakes that feed the turbines. There's still water, but the dam can no longer generate electricity. But I clarified with Caleb, when Blue Mesa drops below minimum power pool, it's not like we lose the full capacity of the power generation all at once. As the water level decreases, the amount of power generation also decreases. I can't imagine Blue Mesa is making a full 84 megawatts as it approaches power pool, right? There's less head and less water flowing through the turbines.
The plant is already feeling implications of low storage levels with reduced power production, even when it's still above power.
If you've followed the Colorado River at all for the last few years, you've heard this shape the story about Glen Canyon Dam down on Lake Powell. Glen Canyon has an issue that in order to get water through the dam below its minimum power pool, bypass tubes must be used that the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has had many operational difficulties with. So I asked Foy whether Blue Mesa has the same problem, and his answer was one of the few genuinely reassuring things in this half-hour discussion. Blue Mesa is constructed somewhat similar to Glen Canyon that we've been hearing a lot about, which is that the power pool elevation is above dead pool. That meaning that there's, once we drain below the inlets to the turbines, we still have a way to bypass the dam and flow water through Blue Mesa.
In the case of Blue Mesa Reservoir, I am not aware of any concerns related to operating the reservoir at levels below power pool. So I do think it might be distinguished slightly from Glen Canyon Dam, given from what I understand there have been some concerns expressed about, you know, long-term ability to operate Glen Canyon Dam at lower storage levels below power pool, given some concerns with what's referred to as the bypass tubes or river bypass tubes at Glen Canyon.
You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Brody Wilson, and I'm talking with Caleb Foy of the Colorado River District about Blue Mesa Reservoir in the worst water year anyone has recorded there. So far, we've covered how much water is in the reservoir, what the dam can and can't do with what's left, and now the harder half, which is who decides where the water goes that remains in Blue Mesa. It involves a federal decision signed in 2012. A river gauge many miles downstream where the Gunnison joins the Colorado, a water right that's older than most towns on the western slope, and another electricity generation station on the lower Gunnison that most people upstream have never heard of. There have been some recent changes made to the outflows at Blue Mesa that may change this forecast a bit. Can you tell us about those?
So the Blue Mesa Reservoir is operated pursuant to the 2012 Record of Decision. And the record of decision provides basically what are called base flow targets at the whitewater gauge. So the whitewater gauge is located on the Gunnison River, pretty far downstream, just above the confluence with the Colorado River. And so the record of decision typically identifies base flow targets as low as 750 CFS. So you could kind of consider that to be the floor of what they would be targeting with releases out of Blue Mesa Reservoir to ensure that the releases plus any other tributaries inflows are at least meeting that 750 CFS target on the lower Gunnison River.
And that's the whitewater gauge?
That is the whitewater gauge, okay. Correct.
Operators, whether they're Bureau or WAPA operators, watch the whitewater gauge, and there's various inflows from the North Fork and the Uncompahgre, et cetera. But they make sure that they whatever those other flows are, plus what's coming out of the Gunnison through the Buck Canyon, that combined those add up to 700 CFS at Whitewater.
Yeah, or 750. And frankly, it could, you know, the targets vary monthly. They get as low as 750 CFS, but the base flow targets that we would typically see in like June and July would actually be upwards of just over 1,000 CFS at 1,050 CFS. And really, one of the primary reasons for these flow targets and the record of decision is to support environmental flows for the endangered fish who reside in this area. So these have been flows that have been, noted as important for habitat and livelihood of the endangered fish species, both in the lower Gunnison River, in the close proximity to that whitewater gauge, but also downstream of the confluence of the Colorado and Gunnison rivers, which are referred to as the 18-mile reach on the Colorado River. So these base flows, you know, are certainly incredibly important to those endangered fish.
So just to confirm, I didn't know that. That's news to me. I didn't know that that the Gunnison's minimum flow requirements contribute to the 18-mile reach. Now, the 18-mile reach starts at the confluence of the Colorado and the Gunnison and stretches downstream on the Colorado River for 18 miles. And it is not to be confused with the 15-mile reach, which is immediately upstream on the Colorado and runs from Palisade down to the confluence with the Gunnison. So, water is released at Blue Mesa Dam, supporting in-stream flows on a stretch of the Colorado River below Grand Junction for fish. But it's what happens between the dam in Gunnison County and the confluence that matters to many of us on the western slope. And that's why what came next was such a hard call.
There has been a modification of operations at the Aspinall unit and specifically Blue Mesa Reservoir. So recently, the Bureau of Reclamation, in consultation with the Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, realized the concern with these low storage levels. And I should say, you know, this isn't certainly done lightly. If you draw Blue Mesa Reservoir down too far to, let's say, even Deadpool, then there's really no ability to release any storage out of the reservoir. And you're really stuck with a limitation on the release being whatever is coming into the reservoir. So in order to preserve, you know, this storage in Blue Mesa Reservoir, again, the Bureau of Reclamation in consultation with the Fish and Wildlife Service and other water users throughout the Gunnison Basin, as well as the state of Colorado, decided and agreed to lower the whitewater target down to 500 CFS. So effectively, what they've done by, let's say, even comparing it to a 750 CFS whitewater target, is that's a reduction of about 250 CFS. And what that does is, just based on those numbers alone, you're looking at preserving nearly 500 acre feet of storage per day in Blue Mesa Reservoir by modifying that flow target from 750 CFS down to 500 CFS.
Who sits at the table matters, and my instincts about that were wrong. It's not Colorado Parks and Wildlife representing the wildlife in these stretches of river.
So in this case, actually, when we're talking about the whitewater flow target and these base flow targets for the operations of the Aspinall unit, it's actually the United States Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay. So we try to make sense of the whole situation with these minimum flows and Blue Mesa's low level. If we insist upon some previously agreed minimum of 750, we risk at some point late this fall or the middle of winter running out of water and actually severely damaging these fish populations. So we'll agree to a lower minimum flow at whitewater, maybe less than is biologically ideal, but one that we think might carry us through until there's more water available. Is that a fair layman summary?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair representation of the situation. And again, just that grave concern that if the reservoir was continued to be drawn down, there might not be any water to release from the reservoir, which, you know, if not even just the reach of the lower Gunnison River with the endangered fish, but if you were talking about not releasing any water from the reservoir, you know, that would effectively completely dry up the Black Canyon, which certainly has impacts to the environment there, as well as, you know, recreation impacts through the Black Canyon as well.
Okay, now you have a picture of the balance between maintaining stored water in Blue Mesa and maintaining in-stream flows in the lower Gunnison and eventually even on the Colorado River below the confluence. But there's an elephant in the room that we haven't acknowledged yet. I want to remind you that you're listening to Locomotion on KVNF. I'm Brody Wilson, and I'm talking with Caleb Foy of the Colorado River District about Blue Mesa Reservoir in the worst water year that anyone has recorded here. Now, back to our story. Between the reservoir and those fish downstream, there's a tunnel. The Gunnison Tunnel pulls water out of the river just below the Crystal Reservoir at the head of the Black Canyon, and it carries a lot of water under the mountains and into the Uncompahgre Valley. It's operated by the Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association, one of the biggest water projects in the state and one that many in the KVNF listening area rely on for drinking water, irrigation, and food. I asked Caleb Foy about it. But there's an elephant in the room here, in that there's a major diversion between these sensitive fish populations and Blue Mesa, and that is the Uncompahgre Valley water users that are pulling, I don't know, 1,100, 1,500 something CFS out to irrigate the Uncompahgre Valley. The people whose livelihoods depend on this water are already making deep sacrifices. Is there any discussion as we think about these minimum flows about UVWA taking water from their other sources like Ridgeway? It's sitting quite full today.
You know, UVWA, as you alluded to, is currently at a 50% allocation. In regard, you know, for planning purposes, that's what they came into this year, just seeing the writing on the wall in regard to the poor hydrologic conditions. It's my understanding from, you know, many conversations with Steve Pope, the general manager of Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association, is that a full Gunnison Tunnel, which is just, let's say, call it 1,050 CFS, just over 1,000 CFS, provides adequate water for about half of their a full irrigation demand within their system. We have been in discussions with UVWA, and it does look like they are anticipating, you know, managing their Gunnison Tunnel demand later this season to reduce that and maybe move some of that demand or supply to meet their demand from the other side of the system, which is Ridgeway Reservoir, as you pointed to. You know, the real issue for Uncompahgre Valley water users this year is typically they rely on more than just Ridgeway storage from that Uncompahgre side of their system. They would be relying on natural flow coming down from snowmelt beyond just reservoir storage, sure, to satisfy a portion of their demand. And frankly, that just hasn't been here. It's my understanding they actually received zero water in regard to direct flow water from the Uncompahgre system this year to date. Wow. And probably don't expect any moving forward this summer.
Wow, nearly zero other inflows. So Ridgeway Reservoir isn't a surplus that the Uncompahgre Valley water users are sitting on. It's most of what they have left. But still, some might wonder, if Ridgeway is nearly full, why do they keep pulling from the Gunnison at all? If push came to shove, does U.S. Fish and Wildlife or any of these biological in-stream flows, do they have any, from a water rights standpoint, seniority over UVWA? But UVWA's right is really old, right? They can, if it's their water, they can use it. And if they want to keep their tunnel full, they can.
UVWA holds a very senior water right for the Gunnison Tunnel to divert out of the Gunnison River just below Crystal Reservoir.
Okay, in Colorado, if your water right is senior to others, as the river flow tapers off and your ditch isn't full, you place a call on the more junior users, and they have to stop using water, close their headgates, and make sure that the senior users get their full allotment. Seniority is based on who put the water to work first. And in the case of the Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association, they have a very old, very senior water right. That's not a loophole in the system. That is the way the system works.
Because there's multiple colors of water in Blue Mesa Reservoir. Some of it is Aspinall unit storage rights, and some of it is Uncompahgre Valley Water Users Association Taylor Park first fill storage water right that's delivered down from Taylor Park Reservoir. And so if we were ever to get into a situation where the only water in Blue Mesa Reservoir were the Taylor Park water that is owned by UVWA, the problem there would be that would effectively dry up the Black Canyon, meaning that there would be no way or ability to deliver water beyond the Gunnison Tunnel downstream through the Black Canyon and also to support these base flows at the Whitewater Gauge.
So the senior water right stays whole, The river below the Gunnison Tunnel runs at about half of its normal summer flow. But it's not like the Uncompahgre Valley water users aren't sacrificing. The 80-plus thousand acres that they irrigate are only getting half as much water as they would in a normal year. Farmers are fallowing 30 to 60% of their fields. And that's not the system failing. That's the system working exactly the way it was designed to. Where do we go from here? So U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Bureau have negotiated. We've lowered the minimum flows at Whitewater to 500 CFS. Are we good? Are we going to make it till the fall and the snow flies and through the winter? Are we still on thin ice? What does the next kind of 6 months look like?
You know, I think that's a really good question. And I wish I had a crystal ball to be able to predict for you what, you know, what the future monsoons are going to look like, what this winter snowpack. What I can tell you is by, you know, engaging in this collaborative process throughout the basin, you know, where we have irrigators talking to fish and wildlife, talking to reservoir operators, talking to, you know, we haven't even spoken about the Redlands Water and Power Company, who also rely on these diversions on the lower Gunnison.
I hadn't heard of the Redlands Water and Power Company, and I suspect that many of you upstream on the Gunnison hadn't either. Would you mind just helping me briefly understand the Redlands Water and Power Company and how it relates to these negotiations?
You know, Redlands Water and Power Company diverts water basically at the very bottom of the Gunnison River, just a few miles upstream of the confluence with the Colorado River. So at times, you know, the flow in the river could be primarily comprised of these releases from Blue Mesa Reservoir, given especially like this time of year, where you don't have much tributary inflow between the Aspinall unit and Redlands on the lower Gunnison. So Redlands Water and Power Company functions in two different ways with their diversions. So they divert water to both produce power, they have a hydropower generator on the canal, as well as to lift irrigation water. So what they do is a portion of their diversion is pumped up and supplies irrigation for Redlands Mesa outside of Grand Junction. You know, at 500 CFS, they are still able to generate some amount of power, and they still have kind of their minimum need of about 50 CFS to pump that 50 CFS up for irrigation on Redlands Mesa. But with that being said, what they face is because of the reduced amount of water going through their hydropower plant, they actually don't produce enough power, or they don't produce the amount of power that they need
to lift
the 50 CFS of irrigation water. So obviously that has some implications to their operations, given that they now have to pay for a difference in power. I think they also understand very much the implications of dwindling storage at Blue Mesa Reservoir and what long-term implications that could even have on their system. So I think knowing that it might be a little bit of pain now to save a lot of pain later is likely how they're kind of viewing that situation now. Although I'll be the first to admit they are certainly impacted by a reduction in base flow target at Whitewater.
And where does their right stack up against Uncompahgre Valley water users?
That's a great question. So they have a 670 CFS senior water right. It is junior to the Grand Tunnel, Uncompahgre Valley's water right.
Caleb just misspoke there. He meant that the Redlands Water and Power Company is junior to the Gunnison Tunnel.
They have a series of actually five lift stations. Currently, they're operating, again, given the low flow conditions this year, they're operating with a reduced irrigation demand, and they're actually only operating three lift stations to lift 50 CFS. They're still able to distribute irrigation throughout the system, irrigation water throughout the system, but it runs very tightly. And I would say at 50 CFS, water may not make it to the end of every single lateral, but they've kind of made 50 CFS work this year, which I think has certainly been helpful.
I asked Caleb, is there anything else that you feel like we didn't touch on that's important to this whole situation?
You know, one thing I would say is the Aspinall unit is one of the initial CRISP units, right? And this is, you know, ultimately it was constructed to help facilitate the upper basin states to be able to develop their compact entitlement while also maintaining, the necessary releases or deliveries downstream pursuant to the compact. And so I would say, you know, when this reservoir gets into such a condition where, we're talking about modifying operations, certainly it's not able to serve that initial intended purpose.
Blue Mesa, along with Crystal and Morrill Point, was built as a part of the Colorado River Storage Project, or CRISP. Flaming Gorge on the Green River in Utah, and Navajo on the San Juan in New Mexico, and of course Glen Canyon, which holds back Lake Powell, are all a part of CRISP, a system operated by the federal government. Which means that further releases of water from Blue Mesa in support of Lake Powell could happen. Not likely this year, but certainly possible in future years.
Certainly there were releases this year out of Flaming Gorge Dam, and the reason I suspect that Blue Mesa was off the table for those types of DROA releases, Drought Response Operations Agreement releases, was because of the critically low storage levels. So I think there's certainly an impact to low storage in regard to the big Colorado River.
The feds elected not to pull water out of Blue Mesa, thank goodness for us, because there was hardly any water to be drawn down. Flaming Gorge had some, and so Flaming Gorge is being used to bolster Powell's elevations. But that may not always be the case, is your point, that there's still, the feds still retain authority to mandate these drawdowns should larger basin operations require.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I mean, it is a federally controlled reservoir, and certainly being one of those initial storage units for the Colorado River Storage Project, that certainly was its intended purpose. You know, despite things like flatwater recreation on the reservoir itself not being necessarily the reason the reservoir was constructed, I think we can all agree that there's certainly impacts to things like the local economy in Gunnison County or in the areas around Curaconti and Blue Mesa Reservoir because of these low storage levels has impacts to flatwater recreation, which in turn has impacts to the local economy.
That question that I asked Caleb a while back about where do we go from here, well, he never quite finished answering yet, but we got as far as Redlands and went there. So here's the rest of that response.
You know, it's really been a collaborative process to understand the dire circumstances related to storage at Blue Mesa Reservoir and make adjustments in operations that, although impacts of those adjustments are felt by water users, by fish, they're felt across the board, that we're really trying to protect ourselves from that worst case scenario where we've drawn the reservoir down so far that we can no longer release water out of it. Absent any dramatic shift in hydrology, we're likely going to need to continue to operate at these lower downstream flow targets for the foreseeable future in order to preserve storage at Blue Mesa Reservoir. I do think one of the driving factors for what next year's operations may hold are going to be what this winter snowpack looks like, how it comes off, the quantity, timing, all of that. But with that said, I think by preserving at least this amount of storage, let's call it roughly 500 acre feet a day today through the rest of this season, I think we are putting ourselves in a much better, a less risky neighborhood than we would have otherwise been in.
He won't call it safe. Listen to what he actually said there. A less risky neighborhood, not a safe one. Everything past this fall depends on snow that hasn't fallen yet. Thank you so much for the education and for your unbiased and broad perspective on these issues and for the work that you do, bringing all the parties together to negotiate these things on these difficult years. And I'll keep praying for snow.
Yeah, me as well. I really appreciate your time, Brody.
All the thanks in this episode go to Caleb Foy, Senior Water Resources Engineer at the Colorado River District, for his time and his patience. And this story was supported in part by a grant from the Water Desk, an independent reporting initiative at the University of Colorado Boulder's Center for Environmental Journalism. This has been Local Motion on KBNF. If you missed some of this episode, no worries. You can always listen to Local Motion at KBNF.org by looking for Local Motion under the News tab, or on the KBNF app, or even in your podcast player on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for listening.